Begin the current daf, Masechtas Krisis daf Yud Gimel. Begin 5 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the discussion of the previous daf, which is we had the previous Mishnah, qualifying the Mishnah before that, regarding halacha, that if someone eats 2 half olive sizes in one halama, one lapse of awareness, so then he's going to be chayiv for a karban chatas. So it's going to combine together. Now, on that, the Mishnah discussed and qualified how long of a time span could elapse to say that it's considered one act of eating to be the minimum shir of a kezayis. So the opinion of the Rabbanan in our Mishnah was, as commonly known as what's called kedei achilas pras, the amount of time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread, which is a quarter of a kav, a half of that loaf, that's the amount of 4 bayim, that the place can give different measurements, 3, 9, different types of amount of minutes. But if someone eats in that amount of time, even though it wasn't in one act of eating, that's going to be considered as connected together. On that theme, Amar Rav Nai, Amar Shmuli, says as follows. Says, Bechalavim uvenevela, by forbidden fats, by eating an animal that wasn't properly slaughtered, and he eats a half an olive-sized piece now and a half an olive-sized piece later. So, Acha Yisha mitchilavat saif, it has to be that the delay wasn't longer from the beginning to the end, Bechdechil is pras, the amount of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread. However, he differentiates, he says, Be'eichem temeim, regarding eating foods that are richly impure, which is that makes a person's body rabbinically prohibited if he eats a half of a half of a loaf, meaning a quarter of a loaf of bread. If he eats that amount of tamei foods, then he's forbidden to partake of truma. And the girsa takes that the next 2 words, and umashkin tameim, or if he drinks beverages that are tamei, which that makes the body invalid if he drinks a revius of that, a quarter of a leg, there the halacha is different. Afila, even if he delays from consuming that quarter of the loaf, that what's called a chatzi pras, koloyim kuloy, even if he does it, takes him the whole day, but as long as he ate every olive-sized bit. I mean, the previous halacha, chelev nevela, those are shir of a kezayis. Here, this shir of tuma is a different shir. It's a shir of a quarter of a loaf. Now, as long as he eats every olive-sized bit, bechtei, in the amount of time of a lapse, of a chelev pras, then those zeisim, which are in that share of kedei achilas pras, will combine, even if it takes all day, for him to eat that quarter loaf of the bread to become tamei, what's called psul hagviya, of then forbidden to partake of truma. Says Gemara Mai Kama, which clarifies how we just interpreted his statement. Amar Papa says, Hachim, this is what he was saying. Filikala yem kula, even if it takes the whole entire day to eat the chatzi pras, to make his body tamei, rabbinically, but as long as he ate an olive-sized piece of them with an achilas pras, let's say he's eating a little bit now, half a size, but as long as those zeisim are within kedei achilas pras, even if the shear of the quarter loaf took more than that, that's okay, it's still going to combine together. However, Meisvi, the Gemara asked from a Mishnah Masechtas, Me'ilu, which is brought in Masechtas, Mekvayis, that says, Kolo ichin mitzdarfen lifsel hagviya. All food items combine to make the person's body invalid to partake of chuma. If the foods are tamei, they'll all combine to be that shear of a quarter of a loaf. If it's bekechatzi pras, as long as he eats it with an amount of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread. My love, says the Gemara, isn't this what the Mishnah is saying? The achli lechatzi pras, as long as he eats the half of the half, which is the quarter loaf, bechtei achilas pras, the amount of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf. So you see that whole shear, not just the kezayis, has to be within kedei achilas pras. Says the Gemara, no, loy. The ochel kezayis bechtei achilas pras. What the Mishnah is saying is, as long as he eats each olive-sized bit bechtei achilas pras, but the whole shear of chatzi pras could be even in a long amount of time. But the Gemara continues to ask Meisvi from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, kol oichlin mitzdarfen lifshles agviya, this same halacha, but it's more explicit. Every food item combines to invalidate a person's body, bekechatzi pras, in the amount of the quarter of a loaf, half of a half of a loaf, bechtei achilas pras, if it was within the amount of time of kedei achilas pras of eating a half a loaf of bread. Ketzer how so? Says the Braisa clearly. Achel v'chazav achel, he eats, and then again he eats. Even though it wasn't one act of eating, but if there wasn't more than from the beginning of when he started eating till the end of the last one, the amount of time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread, mitzdarfen, they combine. More than that, ein mitzdarfen doesn't combine. So here is really where the proof is, and the Gemara at the end will bring it, but the Gemara continues to quote the whole Braisa. Braisa continues and says, another related halacha, and the gear says, they didn't permit someone who ate less than the shear of what would make his body tummy when he's eating tummy food to go down and immerse himself in the mikvah. since he doesn't need immersion because he didn't eat the measurement yet, and the Gemara is going to explain, okay, so what's the problem? Why don't we let him do that? Now, but continues the Braisa, Yared v'tavu v'ala v'shlimer, and therefore, actually, if he went down and he immersed himself before having eaten that quarter of the loaf, he ate an eighth of a loaf, and then he comes out of the mikveh v'shlimer, and then he completes the amount of a quarter of a loaf by eating another, let's say, eighth of a loaf. Mitzdarf, it's going to combine, and actually, although he immersed in the middle, that didn't help, and he's actually going to combine to make his body tummy. Now, another related halacha, hitiru la lu'ubara, they permitted a pregnant woman, lechel, that although we said that rabbinically, if someone ate tummy foods in the measurement, they're not allowed to eat from truma, they permitted the pregnant woman to eat it, pachas mikashir, less than the measurement, memeha sakana, because of the danger, which I'm going to explain later on, because of danger, one's allowed to eat as much as they want to. If something that's forbidden because of danger to one's life. Now, continues the Braisa, Kalamashkin mitzdarfan lifsala segvibravias, related halacha regarding beverages. All beverages, like we said, regarding food items, they combine to make a person's body puzzle if they consumed the beverage in the amount of a revias of a leg, no matter what the beverage is that was tummy. Bechtechlis pras, as long as that was with the amount of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread. Okay, so how so? Shasa, v'chaza, v'shasa, someone drinks, and again he drinks. If the share of the revius was drunk in the amount of time from when he started drinking until the end, was within the amount of time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread, then mitzdarf, and then that revius combines, but if it took longer than that, then mitzdarf, we're not going to combine it to consider his body puzzle to now consuming truma. Another halacha says the Braisa, he tirulo lamaga tamei mace, they permitted a woman who touched someone who touched a corpse. A corpse is what's called avi avisa tama, a grandfather of tama. Someone who touched a dead person becomes an avatama. Now this woman touched that person who touched a dead person, making her into a rishon latama. Now they permitted her, lahanik bina, to nurse her child, uvinatar, and her child is going to be tar. That's the brisa. One thing says the Gemara, Katani Mias, once we learned in the beginning of the Braisa was, Emyesh mitchil sechil b'shein matzabachila, and the Gemara says, Achareina, if in the beginning of when she started the first eating, until when she finished the end of the last eating, of the shear of what would make a person's body puzzle, which is a quarter of a loaf, b'chdei achilas pras, that has to be in the amount of time eating half a loaf of bread, then mitzav, then it combines, says the Gemara, Tiyuv to Rav Nai, that refutes Rav Nai, who he says, no, you only have to have every olive size in that amount, not the whole thing. It's definitely refutation from this Braisa. Now, once we introduce the Braisa, the Gemara elaborates on that. Amamar, the time the Braisa said, they didn't allow someone who had eaten less than the amount of what would make his body tummy, rabbinically, to go ahead and immerse himself in the mikveh. So the Gemara says, my come, what's the Braisa saying? What's the problem? So Rav Yehuda says, this is what the Braisa is saying. Achal pachas mikashir, if he ate less than, let's say, the quarter of the loaf of Michael tummy, they didn't allow him to go out and immerse himself. Why? Because if he's going to go ahead and immerse himself in the mikveh, he's going to come out. And then he's going to eat, let's say, another eighth of a loaf. Mitzdarf, it's going to combine. But the problem is, he's going to come to say, oh, I already immersed myself after I eat that eighth of a loaf. And he's not going to know that that immersion didn't help. It's still going to combine if it was within the shir of achilas pras, because it only helps after he finishes the shir, became tummy, and then he immerses. But in the middle, it's not going to help. But if we don't let him immerse himself in the middle. Additionally, Gitani, we learned in the Braisa, it said, they permitted the pregnant woman to eat less than the measurement, even though it's forbidden, because of the danger. So it's like, because of danger, it would be even more that she's allowed to eat, even though it's rabbinically forbidden because she ate tummy foods. My papa says, no, this is what the Braisa is saying. He tirula l'ubara pachas mikashir afila tuva. Yes, of course, if there's danger to life, then a person's allowed to eat even something that's forbidden. And here too, she's allowed to eat even more than less than the measurement many times. Because of danger. All the Braisa is saying is but that one should deviate and try to not eat it in the measurement in one shot, rather to eat less than the measurement so that it doesn't combine. But of course, she could do it many times. She could, just to deviate from the regular normal way of how it's done, if that's possible. Obviously, if it's not possible, then one does whatever it takes to save a person's life. Additionally, Gitani will learn in the Braisa that said, "Hitiru lamaga tmei meis lohanik es bina." They permitted the woman who touched a person who touched a dead person to nurse her child, ubinatar, and her child, the infant is still going to be tar. Says, "Am I tar? Why is the child going to be tar?" But kiven de yana chalav, since the infant is nursing the mother's milk, itami le mi chalav, so the child should become tummy from the milk itself. Meaning we understand that the child does not become tummy from having touched the mother. Because the mother's touch is not going to make her son tummy, because she herself only touched someone who touched a dead person. Like we said, that makes her into a rishon tuma. Now a person or a vessel cannot become tummy from a rishon, it can only become tummy from an ava tuma. So the child is not becoming tummy from contact with the mother. But from the milk, the child should become tummy. Because the halacha we quoted before, if someone eats a half of a loaf of tummy foods, then the body becomes tummy. And here the milk is something that became tummy from the mother. So the milk should be tummy, and therefore the child should become tummy from the milk. And says the Gemara, v'chitem, and if you can say, no, lo yiskasher, this milk never became susceptible to becoming tummy, and therefore it's not tummy, because although one would say, wait a second, liquids don't need to be susceptible to tumma, so that Rashi clarifies, here the milk doesn't have the halachic status as a beverage, as a mashka, because as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Dafkav Memdal Mabeis, that what's called mashka bola eichel, which has applications in Shabbos, of one squeezing out a lemon into food items, when it's going into a food item, it has actually the halacha like a food item. So here too, this liquid of milk actually has halacha as a oichel, which that's what it's meant for the child to nourish. It's like the food for the child, so it's like an oichel. So therefore, it needs to have heksher. It needs to become susceptible to tumma by coming in contact with one of the seven liquids, which milk is actually one of those things, but this milk is not qualified as a mashka, rather as a oichel. So if you're going to say, no, the child doesn't become tummy because the milk never became hoksher l'tumma, and that says the Gemara, but why? Niskasher betipu mulech leches al piadad. The milk that's a food item that the infant is nursing became susceptible to tumma by coming in contact with the drop of milk that's moist on the mother's nipple. Meaning the first drop that comes in onto the nipple, the mother does that intentionally, and the infant, because that makes it easier for the child to nurse when it's moist over there. So that milk actually is like regular milk because it's not being used as an oichel for the child to nurse, and it's like a mashke. So that mashke is one of the seven types of liquids that make food items susceptible. That's going to make the milk that he's nursing, and it's hukshu l'kabel tuma, so therefore the child should become tummy from having eaten the food, the milk, from the mother. So why is the child not tummy? So Rav Nachman, the Rabbi Barvui, says, because sheyonik betkifa achas, we're talking about where the child nursed forcibly, where the child went and strongly took the milk, and lohinich tipa melech leches apiyadad, he actually didn't leave over any milk that was there on the mother's nipple. So there was no mashke to prepare the quote food item of the milk that he drank, and therefore it never became susceptible to tumma. It's not tummy from the mother, and therefore it's not tummy from the milk. However, Amar Rava says, shtei tshuvas b'dav. No, there's two responses to ask on your interpretation. Chada, first of all, the kechazina lepuma de yinuka de mali chalav. Quite often we find that the child doesn't nurse forcibly with a thrust, and that he does leave a drop of milk on the mother's nipple. So therefore it's not possible that it shouldn't be that there is that drop of milk on the nipple, so therefore that should be machshir, the milk that he's drinking, although it's considered a food item, and should become tummy from that milk. Void, moreover, he says that the whole thing is mistaken, because that milk, it's not a beverage, but it's not a food item either. Because actually, makom chalav mayin, who the place of where the milk comes out from the mother's nipple, is actually a spring. It's considered one of the fountains of places of fluid from the woman, just like her spittle, just like her urine, which the Gemara says later on that actually it contaminates a severe level of tumma, even just a minute amount, because it's actually considered like one of her limbs, which is metami without any heksher, just like her spittle. And therefore, it doesn't need heksher. So that refutes your concept that you're saying, oh, it wasn't hoksher, and therefore he's tar. It doesn't need heksher. Diktan, like we learned in Mishnah Masechta's Machshirin, that says, chalav isha, mitami, the milk of a woman, it makes tummy, bain l'ratzin, whether if it was wanted, if the child wanted the milk, or bain shalei l'ratzin, or whether the child didn't want to nurse. Either way, the milk that's coming out is considered something that's considered automatic liquid in the regards to the laws of tumma. But behema ain't a tumma el ratzin, but the milk of an animal only makes tumma if it was desired. Says Rava, my love isn't obvious from the Mishnah when it says shalei l'ratzin, if it was not wanted, it means delay nichale. It means that the child didn't want the milk. And yet, v'katani mitame, and still we see that it says that it's going to be mitame. Now, but if it's like you're saying, that the milk that the child nurses has halacha of a food item, then why is it mitame if the child doesn't want it? But like you're saying, regarding a food item, it has to be prepared and become susceptible to tumah. Now, the pasuk says, ki yitain, which says that it has to be something that a person desired for it to become susceptible to tumah. And however, in this situation, he doesn't want it, and yet still saying it's tameh. Obviously, says Rava, because it's not a food item, it's not a beverage, it's a mayan. It's one of the springs of the woman in her, the fluid in her body, and therefore it automatically is tameh, just like the tameh woman. So why is the child tahar? So Elam Rava, rather Rava gives a different interpretation. He says, Hainu tameh debnat tahar. The reason why the child is tahar is because the suffix, because there are doubts over here. Yeah, the milk is tameh. But the suffix yon the kishir. But there's a doubt. Did the child nurse the measurement of a revius, which is this halacha that we're asking from by the fact that he nursed a measured amount of tummy food, his body should become tummy? Or let's say it's a food item, did he go ahead and drink a chatzi pras, a quarter of an amount of a loaf worth of food, which this milk, let's say, is qualified like food? Vesafik loyonik. And there's a doubt of maybe he didn't nurse that measurement amount, and therefore it would be tar. Because the Rashi explains that although we explain the Gemara, Rav is saying that the milk is considered a mayan, it's a spring, still, the Gemara's understanding that it doesn't contaminate with a minute amount, even though we're saying that from all her springs, all the things like her urine, all those things, the matami, even the kolshu, because in this case that we're describing where the mother became tummy from a tamei mace, she herself doesn't contaminate by touch, because she's just a rishon. So therefore, the milk that's coming out from her can't be any stronger to be like one of the mayanas and contaminate, because she herself doesn't contaminate. Rather, the most it's going to be is going to be like other mashkin tamein, which that is a tamei mashke. But again, it has to be that then the person, which in this case the child, had nursed the shear, because it's only yon become pasul your gvi, your body, from eating foods that are tamei, if it's in liquids revis and in food items, a quarter of a loaf. So first of all, we're not sure, did the child nurse that amount? And the intims of the lemayonic, and even if you say that he nourished a lot and he drank that much milk, but safigyonke bachilas pras, but now the time span is still a doubt. We're not sure, did the child nurse it in the amount of time of eating a half a loaf of bread? And some safigyonke b'yesmichlechas pras, and there's a doubt, maybe he nursed it in more than the amount of time. So because of the doubt, that's why regarding this tumah d'rabbanan, we said that the child's going to be tar. That's Rava's interpretation. Now, however, the Gemara goes back with the Rava, regarding his refutation of the previous interpretation of Rav Nachman, and therefore he gave his own interpretation. Is that really so that Malkam Chalav Mayanhu, like he was refuting and he was saying the place of the milk is considered one of the springs of a woman's body and Boleitzarach Hechsher, and therefore it's not considered a food item like we were saying before that, and therefore it doesn't need to be prepared, doesn't have to become susceptible to Tumah? But Vatnan, we'll in the Mishnah Masech Tiskelim that says, Ha'isha Shenot of Chalav Midadeha, a woman that was a nida, a menstruating woman that was tummy, and there was milk that dripped out of her nipple. The nafal avertana, and it fell into the airspace of an oven, which by a klicheris it becomes tummy from its airspace, says the Mishnah, taner tummy. So the oven becomes tummy, because this is tummy milk coming from the tummy woman. Now, bakashalom, we had a difficulty with this Mishnah. But mayis kasher, what made, like we said, it's a food item, this milk, what made it susceptible to tummy? How to become tummy? And it says, because of that first drop of milk on the nipple that's not usually drunk, and that's there to make it easier for the milk to come out, that droplet is considered like a liquid, and that then makes the rest of the milk that comes out, although it's a food, I'm susceptible to tumah, which is going to be metamity of it. Now the difficulty is, but if you hold a rubber that the milk of a woman is considered like a spring, then there's metamity even a minute amount, like one of her limbs. And what does it need to go ahead and have hechsher for? That seems to be contradicted from that Mishnah in Kim that we say it has to be prepared. Now, and Chitim, if you're going to say, okay, Rava lo yisobel k'Rabbi Yechon, what's the difficulty? Rava doesn't hold a k'Rabbi Yechon. He doesn't hold that, but my is kasher. It doesn't need heksher. But says the Gemara, but Vatanya, in the Braisa explicitly that says that it's not a mountain, mayan, it's not a fountain. I mean, it's not considered like one of the limbs of the woman's body. Because the Braisa says as follows. Nimtzes ato eimer tisha mashke mezayv. Comes out, there's nine types of liquids that come out of a person that's a zav, which is a certain type of tumah that comes out of the person's genital area. What are these liquids, which have different halachas, different categories? They're hazeya, sweat, v'leches rucha, and the disgusting liquid, which is like first to pus, v'rei, and the waste matter. Those types of liquids that come out of the person's body, tahar and mekulam. Those are totally tahar. Those are not considered an element of tummy coming from a tummy person. Now, dimas einai, the tear of a person's eye, the dama gafasai, and the blood of a person's wound, and there's a ketintum at beis, v'chalav isha, which is the second category of three, and the woman's milk, metama tumas mashkim revius, that has a halacha of tumah of beverages, which then that has a measurement of a revius, then it's going to have the halacha of tumah. And the third category of three is roikai, his spittle, zayvai, the actual zav, that's the certain type of fluid that comes out of the body, which is the tummy thing that makes him tummy, umeme raglam, and his urine, that third category, mitama tuma chamur b'kosher, that's the most severe level of tuma, which is even a minute amount, as the pasuk equates the three of these, says, meyikar tazvav, chiyara kazav batara, if a zav is going to spit on the pure person, which the Gemara Masechtas Nida and Davna Neiman Alf learns from the spittle, includes his zayv and his urine. That's the third category. Says the Gemara, v'yamet mokam chalav mayin, but if you say, like Rabbi was saying, that the woman's milk, that's actually considered like one of the fountains of the woman's body, then chalav nami netametumah chamur b'kolshu, because they have a regular. Why is it in the second category of if it has the shiravis, then it's going to be metame? It should be like in the third category of the zayv and the spittle and the urine, of be metame even a minute amount. Eli rather says the Gemara, shmami no, mokum chalav isha lav mayinu. It's actually not the way Rava refuted that in previous interpretation, that the place of a woman's milk is not considered like a fountain. But then says the Gemara, but yach, if that's the case, then kasha hamasnita, and the Gemara says, da'ama Rava. But Rava proved his point from a Mishnah, which said that regarding the woman's milk, it's metame bein l'ratzin, bein shalei l'ratzin, where it's going to contaminate whether if it was desired, if it wasn't desired, but if it's not desired, and it's not a mayin, but then we said it's not hochshir. How does it become hochshir l'kabel tumah? If it's not l'ratzin, the only way you can make some of the hochshir l'kabel tumah is if you wanted it. Why is it going to be tamei shalei l'ratzin? If you say, like Rav had said, that it's a mayin, so we understand that. But now that we're refuting that, how do we understand the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, "Mi savet shalei l'ratzin." Do you really think the interpretation of shalei l'ratzin meant the amad loy nichli, that an infant said that he doesn't want the milk? Lie, no. My shalei l'ratzin. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that he didn't want it? What it actually means to say, as the Girsa is not the word da'ama, but rather bistama. It means just in general. The diet did the tin the kareb l'gabachav, where he just doesn't want it because he didn't say he does want it, but he didn't say he doesn't want it. It was just in general. There, we're going to say that, yeah, the milk is going to be tummy, because we assume that the intention of the child, the diet did the kareb l'gabachav, that he always wants the mother's milk. And therefore, it's going to be hoch shlekabot tummy, because it really is wanted. But if the child says, I don't want it, then you're right, then tar, it's going to be tar, because it cannot become susceptible to tumah from any other source, because you have to desire it, you have to want it, and here it's not wanted, and therefore you're right, it, like we said, it's not considered a mayan, it's considered a food item or a liquid, and the interpretation of that Mishnah of Shalei L'Ratzin was not explicitly wanting it, but not wanting it, because if not wanting it, then actually it would be tar. Tina explained the halacha of our Mishnah that said, "Ochel oichlin tamein v'chulu." If when it was talking about the shir of kedechilas pras, so it's talking about if someone eats foods that are tamei or beverages that are tamei, so then if they eat that requisite shir kedechilas pras, that's going to make them forbidden to partake of truma and v'chulu etc. Spoke of if someone drank revius of wine, and then he enters into the base of mikdash, then if v'shok kedechilas pras, if he delayed the amount of time by eating half a loaf of bread, then he's going to be liable for being tamei in the base of mikdash. Now, the wording of the Mishnah sounds like that he actually, after he drank a revius of wine, he tarried in the Beis HaMikdash, b'chdeichel's pras, which that's the Gemara's question. Lomali Shehiyah, why do you need any delay? The Ketani Gashah that you said delay, if someone walks into the Beis HaMikdash, automatically, that's going to be the violation. Why do you have to wait b'chdeichel's pras? So my view says, no, then this is what the Mishnah was saying. Achal eichlin tamein, if someone eats tummy foods, v'shas amashkin tamein and drinks tummy beverages, v'shas revius yain, or in regards to a different context of halacha, drinks a revius of wine, v'shabachilasin u'bishtiyasin k'deichel espras, regarding all these three contexts, if the person delayed in the eating or drinking, not more than k'deichel espras, and in regards to the last halacha, v'nichas l'mikdash, and he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, then automatically chayv is going to be liable. But it wasn't regarding shaha of the going into the Beis HaMikdash. The shaha was on the drinking the wine. That revius can't be in more than the shiur of k'deichelas pras. Now, Rabbi Elazar Aimer v'chulu, that they had a machlekes regarding drinking wine and going into the Beis HaMikdash. What is the shiur of the yain to be liable for going into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of intoxication? Now, the Tanya, one of the braisa that elaborates on these different opinions, the pasuk says of a yikra, yain v'shecher al teish, that regarding wine and hard beverages one shouldn't drink, you and your sons, when you come into the Olamayid, because one's not allowed to come into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of intoxication. Says the first opinion, Yachal afil kosher. You would think, even a minute amount of wine, afil megita, and even if it was freshly squeezed grapes. Tamaloy me v'sheicher. No, it says the next word is v'sheicher. Now, ein asher l'kedei l'shaker. It's only prohibited the amount that it could intoxicate a person. How much would intoxicate a person? Revius yain ben mem yaim. Has to be at least a quarter of a leg of wine, and it has to be at least 40 days old, because up until 40 days, the wine is sweet and it doesn't intoxicate a person. Now, imkein matamalo miyayin. So if we know that from b'sheicher, so what do we learn out from saying the word yayin, wine? Laim l'cha to tell you, shemizhar no love kalshu, that no, the prohibition is even a minute amount, and the mizhar no love megita, and that the prohibition is even freshly squeezed grapes. But the death penalty, that's only when he drinks a revius of wine that's after 40 days. That's the Tanna Kamma. Yudami, he says, no, the interpretation is as follows. When it says yain, wine, any early yain, I would only know wine. Sham shach minayin, other intoxicating drinks, how would I know that the prohibition is there too? Tamalam v'sheicher, that's what it says, and sheicher, intoxicating beverages. So we already know all intoxicating beverages, why do we say anything about wine? That's included. That says Rabbi Yehuda, because alayin b'misa, only regarding wine would there be a death penalty. But Val Shar, and the gear says Mishakrin, but for other intoxicating beverages, that's only Basar, that's only a negative prohibition. Third opinion, Rabbi Lazar, I mean, it says in the Pasuk, Yain al tasht, wine don't drink, v'sheicher, which means to say, it's actually a qualifier of Yain. Al tashtehu kedech shekrusay, don't drink wine in the way of intoxication and then going into the Beis HaMikdash. But Haim Hivsig, as he says in our Mishnah, but if one stopped in the middle, where he put a little water into the wine, then pata, then he's going to be exempt from having drank wine and coming into the Beis HaMikdash. So says my Paligi, first explain the first two opinions. What's the Machlekes Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanakama says that the liability is only wine, and Rabbi Yehuda says that it's even other intoxicating beverages. Says the Gemara Tanakama Savahi held Gamrina Sheikha Sheikha min Nazar. We learn that Xer Shabbat where it says over here Sheikha, says Sheikha by Nazar. Just like by Nazar, the prohibition is only wine. So to here, it's only wine regarding the Kayan going into the Beis HaMikdash. But Rabbi Yehuda, like Yolav Sheikha Sheikha min Nazar, he doesn't have Xer Shabbat. And if he learns out from Sheikha, all the intoxicating beverages. Now, the third opinion, Rabbi Lazar Savahi held, my Sheikha, what does it mean when it says Sheikha? Me didu meshaker. Even in wine, it's a qualifier. Drinking wine only in the way that it's going to make him drunk, which is that he drank straight, and that he didn't add any water. Says the Gemara, based on this machlekes, k'man azal hadatanya. According to whom is the following brisa going like? Achal devei lekilis, if someone eats the pressed figs of this place keilis, or b'shasa dvashay chalav, or he drinks honey or milk, b'nichnas lemikdash v'shimish, and he goes to the Beis HaMikdash, and does the avoida, like that he's going to get lashes, k'man, who's that like? Says the Gemara, it's Rabbi Yehuda, who he says, anything that makes intoxicating, whether it be those devei lekilis, or honey or milk, that makes a person a little bit loopy in that way, that it's meshacher, that one's going to be liable. That's like Rabbi Yehuda, who adds that anything that's meshacher from the word sheicher. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Hasai, he says, halacha kareb el lazer, halacha is like Rabbi Lazer, that it's only with wine, and only in a way that would make him drunk. And says the Gemara, because Bukhari Rav, Alei, Rabbi Lazar, Rav said regarding Rabbi Lazar, Tovina de Chakimi, from the best of the sages. Now says the Gemara, a halacha, relating, a story relating to this halacha, Rabbi Acha de Hutzel, from this place Hutzel, have a nidra Allah de Besu. He made a vow regarding his wife that he's not going to have any benefit from her. Not going to let her have any benefit. That he's not going to have benefit from her. So also coming to Ravashi, he came in from the Ravashi, after he had eaten and drunk. Amalei said to him, regarding him permitting his vow, he says, look, go away now and come back tomorrow. And the reason is because the Rav, Lemuke Amur Allah, Rav wouldn't put up an interpreter in front of him to expound in public in his lecture, from one day of Yom Tov to the next, meaning after he already celebrated the Suda of Yom Tov, where he ate and he drank wine, until the following day, Mishum Shichris, because of Shichris, being intoxicated does not allow a person to go ahead and function in the services of the rabbinate, of Pesach Halacha, and therefore he says, I can't go ahead and annul your vow now in this state. So Amalei said to him, but Vama Rav, but Rav himself said, Halacha Kreb Elazar, like we quoted before, Omar Hu Dekarami Bemaya, and you the master, although you drink wine at your Suda, you add water. And Rav said that, if you add water, it's not considered a problem Midi Meshacher of like a Kohen going into the Beis HaMikdash and of a Rav passing the Halacha. So Amalei said, Halakash, that's not difficult because Hub Revius, his Halacha was only in the Revius of wine. Habayisim Revius. I'm talking about in more than Revius. Even if you add water, it's still going to be intoxicating. And although I added water to my wine, I drank more than Revius, and therefore I can't pass it. Now, Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa that qualifies this halacha that we're talking about. The Pasuk says, wine and sheker one shouldn't drink when coming into the oil meida, etc. And moreover, it's ulahavdul bein hakodesh ubein hachol, and to separate between the holy and the profane, says the brisa, what that's referring to is elu damin. This is regarding to someone's vow of monetary value, va'erichin or erichin vow, charamin, cherim vow, vekdeshes, and being makdish to something where it's forbidden for the sage who drank wine to evaluate for the owner how much the value is to redeem it, because maybe he's not going to give a proper evaluation because he's intoxicated. And when the pasuk says benatame benatar, between what's impure, what's pure, elu tameis v'taharis, that's regarding paskening regarding something that's tame or tar. Ulaharis, when it says to teach zuhayra, this is a psak halacha of issa v'heter, which is regarding prohibitory law, which yeridaya, which is forbidden for someone who drank wine to pasken. As kalachukim, when the pasuk continues, all these statutes elu midrashis, that refers to expounding in the public lecture, which forbidden someone who drank wine, because in the lecture there's going to be some practical applications of hayrav teaching. As the pasuk continues, asher dibra Hashem, which Hashem spoke, zu halacha, that refers to halacha Moshe Mesinai. Biad Moshe, in the hand of Moshe, is that Talmud, that refers to learning the Talmud. Now, Yochalaf HaMishnah, you would think that it's forbidden for someone to teach even Mishnayis when he's intoxicated. Talmud lahayris, no, the pasuk says, and to teach in practice, which excludes Mishnayis, which one cannot paskin halacha from a Mishnah, so therefore it's permitted to for someone that's intoxicated to learn the Mishnayis. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Yochalaf Talmud, you would think that it's forbidden to teach even Talmud. Talmud Laima Ulaharis, no, that's what it says, and to teach, I only made it forbidden a hara'ah of halacha of lemaisa, which that's not what Gemara is. So says the Gemara, Kaman Azlaha Detanya. Based on this, according to whom does the following brisa go like? Yatza, what's excluded from this prohibition, is sheretz tameh. If someone says that a sheretz, vermin, is tameh, or tzvadei atar, or that a frog, a toad, is tar, sheshtu yayin morim hem hara, that there's someone that's, even he's intoxicated, he could pass in such a halacha. He could say that a sheretz is tameh and tzvadei is tar, and we're not concerned because everybody knows this halacha. Says Gemara, name Rabbi Yisrael Yehudi, should we say that's like Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, who he said that someone who's intoxicated is permitted to teach Gemara, even though it's not possible that you're not going to go ahead and understand a practical application from Gemara. But V'lei Rabbanim, it's not going like the Rabban, who they said no, it's forbidden even to teach Gemara, and for sure any obvious psak, where you're clearly saying a practical application, shall we say that this price is not like the Rabbanim? Says Gemara, I feel Tim Rabban, could even say it's like the Rabbanim. Shani Hach, in this case is different. The Zil Kar Beirav. This is something like you say, go to grade school, go to yeshiva, where little children know this halacha. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Therefore, that's not something that's even considered a hurrah, even according to them, who they say Talmud forbidden. Such a psak would be permitted. That's like Chumash. That's like for sure, which they say even Mishnah is permitted, and therefore it could even be like Rabban. Amar Rav, he says halacha Rabbis Behuda looks like Rabbis Behuda, where Talmud is permitted. Not only Mishnah, but even Talmud is permitted to be taught in an intoxicated state. Says the Gemara, but v'harav le'mukam amayir miyem etavu l'chavir mishem shikris. But how could he say that? Rav himself didn't put up a interpreter for himself to lecture in public on Yom Tov from one day to the next because of being intoxicated. But why didn't he expound by the lecture? He would give a Gemara shir, and Gemara is permitted. For sure, Midrashas, which he would expound in Drush in public. Says the Gemara, no, Shani Rav. Rav is different because the Ari Mayri, because he always would give psak halach. Says the Gemara, but v'nekim delaylar. Why is he not giving the drush for the public? Everyone's waiting for the public lecture of the rabbi. Let him just not give enough practical applications. Says the Gemara, no, kol heicha diyasa Rav. Wherever Rav sat, lo yisagi li b'lay Rav. Wasn't possible that he shouldn't give a practical halachic application to someone because everybody would ask him questions. So therefore he said he's not giving the lecture at all, because since he drank wine, he's intoxicated, it's forbidden to go ahead and give a practical application, just like it is for the kohen to go into the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he didn't have the although Gemara, Drush is permitted, but he wouldn't give, because he ultimately would end up giving a practical application, which is forbidden in the state of intoxication.